Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm Gwen Berry. I'm in South Florida with our guest today on the show, Ronald Fineman, author and professor at Florida Atlantic University. And with us also is my other two co-hosts, Wayne Johnson up in Ohio, and Jack Jodell, always going forward from Minnesota. And I got that out with too much tongue tying, didn't I?
You did well, Wes. Very well.
Did very good.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me again.
You're very welcome. We're glad to have you, Professor Fineman.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for coming on and giving us all of your, especially the wonderful historical information you give us on all of these presidential, the combat, the elections, all of the policy. You're a big old treasure chest of political goodies.
Thanks.
I like that.
Did I lose y'all?
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you I titled this one, "Why Bernie Should Stay in," or "Why Bernie Should Stay in the Contest," and talking about Trump flip flopping, and also there's something else here. there's been we were talking about, Jack and I were talking about it earlier. There's been a lot of vitriol and a lot of read, especially on social networks. I spend a lot of time on them because I use them business-wise, but I've seen a lot of, you know, it's kind of calmed down in my neighborhood because I've kind of put my foot down and said, listen, we're friends, we disagree, there'll be an election, we'll agree again on things, let's not get out of our heads kind of thing. But There has been a lot of stuff going on, and since our last show, I mean, have you guys seen the back and forth between, especially the Sanders campaign and the media, how they're handling the media, and the Trump campaign and how they're handling the media now? There's differences. And I was wondering if we could talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Let me start. Well, I'll start off with here. Right now, the Republican echelon, seeing the inevitability of Trump obviously going to be the nomination. And so they're going to try to tame him down, calm him down, make him look more moderate, more palatable, because if they don't, he keeps up that incendiary rhetoric he has been running with, that it's going to be a bloodbath. They're going to lose the House and the Senate, not only the presidency. He's going to take the whole House of Cards down with it. There is a civil war going on in my Republican Party, and unfortunately, the bad guys are kind of winning and being dominant right now. They cannot afford to have that.
Yes, I agree. And actually, it's interesting how Trump claims that he will be presidential when he needs to be, but that would make him boring. He would only have an audience of three people, he says, instead of hundreds or thousands. It's a really funny comment. And then he starts saying that he believes that transgender people like Caitlyn Jenner should be able to indeed go to any bathroom they want, and also talks about exceptions at abortion and about rich people being taxed heavily. And it sounds like, wow, he's really transforming himself, but that is not going to please the Republican right wing. And so it's really an interesting situation, how it's developing.
Well, he doesn't have the time of day for Reince Priebus, and neither do I or anybody else in their sane mind, but at any rate, the Republicans don't know what to do with Trump. He's come out of nowhere. They've created him, actually, and now they don't know what to do with him. He's running amok Frankenstein on their party, and that's just fine with me. And Ted Cruz is trying to sneak up behind him and grab delegates. It's not going to happen, Teddy boy, so you might as well retire right now.
Well, you talk.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, I just published just now on History News Network an article about who's the most dangerous presidential candidate in American history, and I came to the conclusion Donald Trump is. But I compared him to George Wallace, Strom Thurmond, Huey Long, Barry Goldwater, Buchanan, and also Ted Cruz, so I said he's dangerous. But I said, and you know, just came out just now a couple of hours ago on HNN that I think Trump is the most dangerous of all.
Well, he's the most unpredictable, and he shoots from the hip, and that's what makes him so dangerous. You don't know which way he's going to go, and that's it's not usually good when you have a situation like that. That's my take on it.
I think it's ironic that Mr. Trump was using Caitlyn Jenner, as the example of someone to go into the bathroom. She'd be fine walking into his woman's restroom in Trump Plaza, and yet Caitlyn Jenner has come out vociferously for Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And maybe he's trying to win somebody over there. You know, celebrities are a good thing, right?
Right. That's the way they're used a lot, and they put themselves in precarious positions too. But who the hell knows? This is such a crazy year. This is looking like a really unprecedented kind of a presidential election year. It seems like each presidential year gets wackier and wackier, but we'll see. We'll see how it all
plays
out.
Very well stated, Jack. I agree.
I got a question for you, gentlemen. I've seen it posted on Facebook, which is it's really true. A third of the globe's population, nations and whatnot, for a few centuries have had female leadership, and so Hillary Clinton would not really pose any big historical feat.
No.
I'd like to see anybody claim that to my great great grandmother. I really would.
We've been such a patriarchal society for so long; it'll create shockwaves here momentarily if she does get the nomination and does succeed to become our next president. But it'll be short-lived. You know, other countries have survived very well. I didn't like Margaret Thatcher in the least, but she was a very effective prime minister. And and Indira Gandhi, and there are all kinds of great women.
Golda Meir, right?
And also Bhutto in Pakistan.
Yes.
Golda was very hawkish, but she had to be. She was the mother of her country.
Right.
And she was, I think, prime minister when Munich happened, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, of course, Latin America has quite a few female leaders in the past and present.
Yeah.
Including one who's just been impeached.
Oh, she was she actually impeached by the Senate? Or that's coming up yet, isn't it?
I guess it's coming up to the Senate. Resolution passed the upper, lower chamber. Yeah.
I think it was like 2.5 to 3 to 1 margin that in favor of impeaching her. But we'll see what the Senate does. That's the big key.
And this is happening.
Her
we're going to have the games coming up soon. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, her political effectiveness is done now. She's toast as far as it looks like right now.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that actually there are some Republican legislators who say that if Hillary is elected, they're going to have a motion of impeachment on her Inauguration Day.
How utterly ridiculous.
Well, that is the go-to move of the Republican teabaggers. Yes.
Yeah, get rid of those teabaggers. Those people are nuts.
Yeah, of course they are, but I'm just saying, they're already saying that, some of them.
Most
of the ones who are saying that are up for re-election at this point, too. And there's a lot of Democrats that are, Russ Feingold has just pulled ahead in his race.
Yes, thank goodness for that, yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. He's got to defeat that teabagger Johnson. Good God, how did that guy ever get elected except in an off year?
This has been the Democratic strategy. It always is, of course, the down ticket thing. I get all the letters from, because I've contributed to both camps. I get all the Bernie stuff and I get all the Hillary stuff. And Hillary's letters come in, emails come in, and they're always pointing you towards races that are going on local for all states to help out.
She's been great for down ticket stuff. That's wonderful, and that's so needed, you know.
so necessary, well, yes.
Yeah, well, like I said, yes, the presidential election is important, so is Congress stuff, but, you know, we also have to act very locally, too, because the Republicans that are in control are doing everything they can to purge the voting rolls of those who would not be voting for their party.
Right.
In New York, someone was just subpoenaed. They got him stopped from purging the Democratic voting rolls up in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
What you're talking about is something that happened in, I believe, in Brooklyn, Bronx.
Brooklyn, they were purged.
Basically, I saw today they posted from the state that like 77,000 of them were people who were no longer actually registered, who hadn't voted in over 5 years or 2 years, whatever the limit is. Mm-hmm. And there were other things. So it wasn't like somebody dumped people purposely.
Well, let me interject here. I was too late to vote for a write-in ballot when I first came out here to Columbus. I still have my home back in Maryland and stuff, so I am a Maryland voting resident.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So if you look at it, it's been close to 6 years since I voted. Had I showed up at my polls, you know, with a little hamlet and where my voting is outside my farm there, I couldn't be eventually purged. Of course, I wouldn't be because I'm Republican. But if I were a Democrat, I could be purged because I had not voted in the last 6 years. Well,
yeah, that's a problem. The idea is to have everybody vote, not to exclude people.
Yes.
Well,
the
campaign just put out an email 2 days ago about putting on the ballot either next time around. I can't remember, and I'm looking right now to see if I can find it, but about, you know, automatically registering everyone, the automatic registry.
Well, Hillary Clinton is promoting that now, that idea of automatic registration.
Yeah. Well, isn't also President Obama, too?
Yes,
he
did. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And in the country of Australia, you have to vote. If you're a citizen, you're required to vote. We should have that here, too.
Right. Well, in a democracy, you have to include everybody's voice, whether you agree with them or not.
Right.
You know, it's like
in Virginia now, Terry McAuliffe has restored the voting rights of people who have finished their prison time and done everything involving it, and that's causing a big uproar among Republicans in Virginia.
Oh yeah, yeah. They don't want anybody with any criminal record to vote. Half their guys are criminals anyway, though. But
Florida is one of the other states that's very strict and almost impossible for anybody who's ever been in prison to ever vote, just like Virginia. But Florida has Rick Scott, who just went ahead and vetoed a bill that every single member of the legislature passed for dental care for the poor. Everybody, Republican and Democrat, voted for unanimously, and he vetoed it.
Well, then they had to override that veto, and they had to throw his ass out of office. He's absolutely ridiculous.
He's toast in 18 or 17. What is it, Ronald? He's toast.
The earlier,
18,
the
better.
But
the
problem
out.
Is he's flirting with Trump. He could be the right. He could be the vice presidential candidate with Trump. Can you imagine that thought?
Let them both go down the flame.
If they're going to try to paint Trump as being moderate, they're going to need the vice president, i.e. the Sarah Palin, to placate to the reactionary wing that segments now that's so dominant in the Republican Party.
Imagine the nightmare? Let's say Trump is the nominee and Scott's his running mate, and they get elected somehow, and God forbid something happens to Trump, we get Scott, who's worse, I think, than Trump, because he's such a right-winger. At least Trump is hard to figure out.
He's
the thought
criminal.
Of it is a nightmare.
Yeah, he's something else.
That's going to happen. I can't help but think that that's just so far away. And again,
let's hope. You never know. This is such a
weird year.
I was going to say, my good friend who I fought all my environmental battles with, and he went toe to toe, making many lawyers who were arguing against him. He was just a machine, owned a machine shop. He said, "I love it when they underestimate me."
Yeah, right.
Because that's when they poo pooed him away and stuff, and the next thing you know, he had his foot on their throat, disproving every one of their arguments, and made these high-minded lawyers look very silly.
Right.
And we're talking lawyers for waste management, things like that. I mean, high-paid lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them got fired because here's this everyday schmuck. counter-argued and won the case against my high-paid lawyer.
Yeah.
That's well, if we're looking for honesty and straightforwardness, we're not going to find it in the political realm anymore. Very few people just speak their minds and are truthful about it. There's always some kind of mechanism behind the scenes that is at work, and it's always hidden, and there's all kinds of hidden agendas and hidden motives, and it's people that are on top of it like we are that we can usually root these things out, but the average voter just gets confused and is dismayed by all the conflict and all the rhetoric that's going up and down the line, you know, and it's a real shame, but it does affect people.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Well, people take facts and twist them up, too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's all about who you want to be against, you know? And that's unfortunate. That's always been there, though, as far as politics go.
And the media feeds it, Gwen, because in this country they don't explore all the possibilities. It's an either or it's a yes or a no, or it's a him or she or a him or he. It's always got to be two choices in this country. It's so ridiculous. They're not very investigative. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
It depends who you're listening to. As far as getting your facts go, and you're very good at this, Jack. Every week, you remind people where to go and listen to hear the facts.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You won't get it on ABC, CBS, NBC. You just won't get it there, or you know.
And sure as hell not Fox.
God no. No. You've got to do some digging, people. You've got to use Google. You've got to use the internet for more than playing games or sending emails that are funny. And you know, you've got to use that computer for what it's designed for: intelligent, fact seeking.
Jack, during the election process, I always tune in to MSNBC. I mean, Rachel Maddow,
she's good, and Chris Hayes is good, but a lot of them aren't, though. Joe Scarborough's a piece of crap. Mika Brzezinski is a token liberal. She's pathetic.
Gentlemen, if somebody got a little truck running up and down the road in front of them or something, we got about a background noise on one of you. It keeps going off. I don't know what it is, but I'm hearing it override.
It's probably a right-wing plot, right?
It could be.
Are you hearing it now, Gwen, or not?
No. When I tell you all to be quiet, it stops.
It's not on my end. It's been real quiet in this neighborhood.
Yeah, there's no cars or anything running around here. So.
Right, here either.
No, some kind of interference. I don't know. It could be, you know, Blog Talk has a lot to be desired these days. I was going to say too that with the media, when something like an election is going on, like on Tuesday primary day, you're going to get the up to the minute polls, and that for me that's important and interesting. I'm keeping an eye on what's going on. I want to see who's winning, who's losing. So,
yeah, MSNBC is great for that.
Yeah, but they also have a lot of spin going on.
Here they do.
They can't spin what's going on at the polls, though. And the Democrats always conversationally poll people to make them out from voting. And in the New York primary, when people would come out, they'd say, okay, you voted. Do you mind telling us who you voted for? And then they ask three questions about the candidate. And one of the questions that they asked about Hillary in New York State was, do you think she's honest and trustworthy? 68% of the voters for Hillary thought she was trustworthy and honest. Same with Bernie. They asked questions about, do you think his policies are going to be feasible? And they all said, yes, we do. We think he can get this done. So it's important to know that information, and MSNBC does bring that up. And I think because then you know what the general population is really thinking and what they're getting.
Yeah, and I contrast that with CNN, which I don't like their coverage anymore. I think they're pathetic.
Yeah,
CNN was much better years ago. It's really gone downhill, unfortunately. Yeah.
When CNN came up, the CIA used them as their intel. I mean, they were all over the place.
That was when they had integrity, when Ted Turner first created them, and he wanted to have a really totally fair and balanced representation of the news of the day without all of partisan coloring. But it's gotten corporatized like everything else these days, and it's not as bad as Fox, but it's pretty bad.
In politics, if it bleeds, it leads. And so these spin doctors get on there, and they make it bleed. It's like watching Morning Joe. I've got a Nerf gun in my bedroom just for Morning Joe, you know?
Right.
I'll
blame you.
Another thing, I'm going to just say, and I don't like it.
Morning Joe is just an outlet for Trump to make all kinds of noise on. They kiss his ass so bad, it's just unbelievable.
I don't think Morning Joe, I don't think Joe Scarborough likes Trump one little bit.
But he knows he creates ratings for them, and they were the lowest rated morning news program for a long time. So he'll take every ratings boost he can get.
I agree.
Right.
That's the scheme behind it all, which is terrible.
O'Reilly said, when they made news for profit programming, they ruined the integrity, the outlook, and even the open-mindedness of news reporting.
Well, that's one of the few truth statements he ever made.
Exactly, right.
That guy lied like a rug.
I agree with Bill O'Reilly, but I thought, that was a good one.
Edward R. Murrow said when he left the business.
Yep.
Yeah, good night and good luck, people, because here you are.
Yeah, he's spinning in his grave right now to know what's going on these days. So it's gotten so pathetically whacked out and corrupt and just distorted so badly.
But when you think about it, I mean, if you see some of the old handouts that people have online now that you can find from, like, the first election and the second and third presidential elections in this country.
You're talking like Adams and Jefferson?
Oh, my God, were they mad.
In the late 1800s, they were terrible.
Adams and Jefferson, and then John Quincy Adams and Jackson was terrible. Even the time of Douglas and Lincoln and Breckinridge and Bell, there was a lot of red. I mean, it's a common thing, actually, in our history. It's just not covered the same way because we didn't have social media and television and all that and radio. But unbelievable the slander that was done.
They had a big scandal against President Cleveland back in the late 1800s. And he supposedly fathered an illegitimate child, and they were making a big noise out of it. After he won the election, somebody said, "Hey, Mama, where's my paw?" And then somebody else answered,
"It's in the White House."
The White House. Ha ha ha!
Yes.
Yeah. Carl Rove special. You know, remember what he did to John McCain? You know, his adoption.
Yeah. Fathering a black child, the one he adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They used that to get Bush elected.
McCain was winning and stuff, and I'm trying to think of his name. He died
South Carolina, wasn't it?
South Carolina. Oh my goodness, they called him the father of dirty tricks, and he also did the Willie Horton against Dukakis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but anyway, when he was dying of brain cancer, he called everybody and apologized because done incredibly wrong.
Well.
He was making things right before he was going to go make his
And he's fine to Karl Rove, as far as I'm concerned. They're both
exactly.
dirty trick masters.
The one down is too, the hammer.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that 1896, William Jennings Bryan, the youngest presidential candidate ever, who was 36, was called a socialist, a Marxist, a communist, and all that kind of stuff. And he was actually a born-again Christian, evangelical Christian, who, of course, was famous for his involvement in the Scopes trial.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Total distortion of Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to ask you... we were going to talk about because actually, Ronald, you did post on it. But so, I mean, you were talking about Hillary, but I got to ask our Sanders supporters here, who do you think Sanders should pick as a VP running mate? And did you know that Jill Stein has offered him the Green Party ticket as a presidential candidate with her as a VP?
Interesting.
Well, if he does that, I think he will harm the Democrats.
Right.
Because
exactly.
He's a name. Jill Stein won't, but I think Bernie Sanders would if he decided to break with the Democrats and run as a Green Party candidate.
Yeah, and I don't think that's on his agenda. You know.
No, because he knows that if he did that, then that would put Trump in the White House. And
right.
That is exactly the opposite of what his goals are.
Right,
he knows
exactly.
And you've heard me say this many times on the show, try to work within the party. If you go and split off, all you're doing is damaging it.
Right.
He has pushed Hillary Clinton more to the left. We have $15 minimum wage in California and New York State because of Bernie Sanders going around floating the idea, giving the argument to it.
That is incremental, you know, and that incremental idea was the one that Clinton was fostering to begin at 12.
Well, she wanted a $12 an hour, and Bernie was always pushed for 15, just like Kashama Sawant out in Washington pushed for $15 an hour and got it.
And she got it, right.
Well, she's
right.
Running
and
Congress, too.
She spearheaded that effort. She was great at it.
Congress. She's running for Congress now.
Thank God. I hope she wins.
She is actually one of three people that Bernie Sanders is financially trying to raise money for now in his down ticket. He's got three people on it. But who would you think Bernie Sanders should choose as a running mate?
I may interject. I think the one senator who has endorsed him, Jeff Merkley of Oregon, would be, if he was the nominee, would probably be, for him, a good choice.
I would agree.
Oregon, But I wanted to mention, if he ran Sanders as the Green Party candidate with Jill Stein as his running mate, that would bring back the nightmare of Ralph Nader and the Green Party in 2000. It looked like mess it caused in Florida.
Right.
Exactly.
That's a nightmare.
Jill Stein is just grasping for straws, trying to climb the ladder herself, I think. And she has good points, but, you know, I think it's not a good thing to do at this point. So I would just throw that suggestion right in the paper barrel right away.
Well, from what I've read on, the social media aspects and what Bernie has replied back, that he is definitely not interested in running as a third party right now. You know,
definitely not.
Because, like I said, he knows that was the Ralph Nader effect.
Right.
You know, we would not have had
balance of power in a few
Ralph
states
Nader
and give them to Trump or to Cruz or even Kasich. Very scary.
And I've been warning for a long time. You cannot have the left fighting amongst itself. It always leads to the election or the success of the right. We cannot have any more of that, gang. I'm advocating people to get behind whoever gets the nomination. To support that person and hold your nose if you want to and raise your head skyward, but still get out and vote and support that person. It's crucial for the betterment of the country, no doubt about it.
I like the old Will Rogers quote. He says, "I'm not a member of any organized political party.
I'm a
Democrat."
Yeah.
That's right. Well, that he said in the 1924 campaign when the Democrats had 103 ballots before they chose John W. Davis because they couldn't nominate William Gibbs McAdoo, Wilson's son-in-law, because he was backed by the Ku Klux Klan, or Al Smith, who was, of course, Catholic. So they nominated John W. Davis. He lost to Coolidge, and that was the election in which Robert La Follette Sr. ran as the progressive candidate and gained one out of every six votes, 5 million votes. 17% of the vote, amazing. But the thing about Davis, I always teach my students, is he sort of like was forgotten after that. But 30 years later, he was in the decision, Brown v. Board of Education, on the losing side in 1954, back in Topeka, Kansas, continuing segregation in schools.
Interesting.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so who would you think that Hillary should choose as a VP running mate, Ronald?
Yes.
Well, I would say, if I may interject first, a lot of them are very good, but I really like Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. I endorse the idea of two women on the ticket, and I think she or Maria Cantwell of the state of Washington are the only two women that are young enough that they could be a successor in the White House. The others, like even Elizabeth Warren, would be in their mid-70s after eight years. I think Amy Klobuchar would be great. I think she's one of my favorite senators, and Maria Cantwell's all right, but I would really promote her because her seat would be safe because it's a Democratic governor. You have to make sure you don't
ask this question,
the state that's Republican governor. You know,
the palatability of having a woman, but also maybe a male for the vice president. you know, who would be a male candidate for vice president that you might like?
I would say Julian Castro, the HUD secretary, former mayor of San Antonio.
I like that. Good.
Yeah, he's good. But he's also very young. He's only 42, but so what? Right. I mean, just saying, he's very young. In the case of Amy Klobuchar, she's about 53, 54. The point is, I'm thinking 8 years ahead. You don't want somebody too old for 8 years from now. Elizabeth Warren would be like 75 in 8 years. And I don't really see her signing up with Hillary anyway. And also, the governor is Republican. That would make a temporary Republican appointment. So that's another factor to think about.
Yeah, there's a Democratic governor in Minnesota right now, so that would help because it would ensure that if she did win the election, a Democratic governor would appoint a Democrat
senator.
Well,
if Al Franken got picked, the other senator was also on the list. Yeah, Al Franken.
Yeah,
he
right
would know
Al
how to really go after Trump because he's very good.
he's got a good razor wit.
He would be fantastic as a campaigner.
Oh, yeah.
And it'd be Jewish. We'd have the Jewish vice president finally, not Joe Lieberman.
Interesting.
Franken,
I hadn't even considered that, but that's an idea.
I personally think that Senator Warren would make an excellent VP because what she could accomplish as vice president. She knows how to consolidate and strategize. And her policies are very important, and I think it would be a strong, really good choice. I really do.
I'd rather have her leading the Progressive Caucus in the Senate, though.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Gwen. She was definitely a good candidate, and she would bring a lot of value added to that ticket. But as a professor said, she's old, and you need somebody that's in the ranks to be able to step up when it's calling in 8 years.
Right.
Yeah, I also think Elizabeth Warren and Hillary would fight a lot, and you have to have somebody more cooperative. And I think Amy Klobuchar or Julian Castro or even Al Franken probably would be better for the viewpoint of interaction of the two for
Hillary,
the next 4 to 8
Hillary
years.
I would like having Elizabeth at her heels, you know, nipping at her heels, so to speak. Hillary doesn't want that. Hillary wants a yes man. She's a little bit like LBJ in that regard, I believe.
You know, until she's in there, you really don't know. But the truth is that as far as she has worked with other politicians and in the offices she's held as Senate and Secretary of State, she has a very good record of working across the aisle and with others.
That's true. She has done it with Lindsey Graham and with others, yes. And John McCain, that's true.
Good
point.
I'm definitely a Elizabeth Warren fan here.
That's rhetoric picturing, and it really, you don't know. And the only thing you can go on is the experience that she's given to the country already in the offices she's held. And she's done a very good job of being bipartisan and a very good job of working with people around her. I think that Warren, having met with her now 4 times at her residence in the last few months, says something. I don't know what it says.
Well, she could end up on the ticket. We don't know, but I really don't think it would work.
How about Treasury Secretary?
I'd love that. Wouldn't that? That's a great idea. I love that.
We'd have a lot of people dying on Wall Street.
People would be jumping out windows again.
They'd be jumping out windows again.
1929 all over again.
That's right, jumping out the windows.
It might be a cabinet pick. You don't know. And you don't know what the meetings are about, but that has to be some kind of political strategizing of some kind. I just wish
Warren was about 10 or 15 years younger than
definitely. 2 years younger than Hillary, which I think, like somebody said, how about Michael Bloomberg? He's in his mid-70s.
No. Yeah.
So is Bernie. No. I don't think you should have somebody older than Hillary. No. I think you need someone quite a bit younger.
I agree.
It does make sense. So you think that a woman-woman team, though, would be just as strong as a woman-man team as far as the general population and voting goes?
I would say more so than if she picks Julian Castro or Cory Booker. I'm not sure the country would really want to have a woman and a minority member on the ticket. I think they'd be more willing to accept a white woman with a white woman.
I think especially down south.
The thing is, I don't think the South is going to go for Hillary to begin with.
Well, I think Virginia will, and I think Florida will.
Yeah.
And I do think Georgia could, and North Carolina could, you know.
They could.
I think Florida will. Basically, because there's so many Republicans down here that are just sort of, you know, fed up. A lot of independents down here.
Right.
Trump is not, if you take a look at how he won down here with the primary, he didn't get that huge landslide.
No, no, he didn't anywhere hardly, you know.
No,
right.
He's not. So
well,
I
he
think
did in New York, didn't he?
There's a lot of purple.
Well, yeah.
There's only three candidates in New York. And I do think I've already projected that for the election, he could win New York while losing to Hillary because he's a real New Yorker and Hillary moved there and ran
right.
from there. But he's been a New Yorker his whole life. He could win the upstate and Long Island and overcome the city of New York and win
the state
of New York, make a blue state, you know, purple, I guess you'd say. That could happen, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
But he's going to be backbitten by so many of the disaffected Republicans who hate him and don't trust him at all and think he's a liberal and all this nonsense that I just don't see him winning the election. It has to be
the election. But I think
he
win New York.
Do you know what the variation is between women and men in voting in the general elections? Do you know what the numbers are there? Demographic.
Well, women have always been more Democratic since the 1980s as far as percentage.
Oh,
men have been more likely Republican. Yeah,
right.
Women vote. Generally, it's been shown more women vote than men. So
it
depends on where they're voting, of course, which states with the electoral vote. But
that's very
I mean,
true.
Women
general
do vote
rule.
More than men, yeah.
Yeah.
How many Republican women do you think are actually going to vote for Trump? Now, I know three right now that are Republican. Only one.
I know some, yeah.
He'll have a handful, but not. He won't have a majority by any stretch.
I'd say there's equal opportunity. There's just as many women Republicans who have drank the Kool-Aid as well as those that said, yeah, not so much. His man's not what I want. There's plenty of women.
Well, also, I think there's two women who could be running for vice president. I don't know, with Trump maybe, or with Cruz. I think Nikki Haley of South Carolina could.
Oh, yeah.
Or Santa Martinez of New Mexico, who's, of course, Mexican-American. So that could bring in the ethnic factor if she was Santa Martinez.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be overwhelming, but it would help them. They need help in that area.
Do you really think he would pick a Mexican-American?
if she was willing to do it because it would overcome somewhat his image, I guess.
They are looking to try to make
maybe that's his big
smarter.
Image shift. Maybe that's going to be his
go
big
ahead.
Image shift.
Oh,
also, Nikki Haley's parents are from India, so she's an Indian American.
Right.
So she's also a minority, technically.
Glenn, I would point out that John McCain, a moderate Republican, and they gave him Sarah Palin make him more palatable to the wingnuts. And, boy, they got a wingnut.
Yeah. And they haven't been able to shut her up since.
No, she's a walking disaster.
Oh, she is. She's terrible.
She makes Michelle Bachmann look smart.
I know. Isn't it incredible? Who would have ever thought?
An accomplishment there, Professor Ron.
Well, now, by the way, there's Louie Gohmert of the 1st District of Texas, Republican congressman, who I call the male Michelle Bachmann. He made a comment about the transgender law in North Carolina and in Mississippi, saying it's necessary because he said himself, when I was 13 or 14, if I could have done it, I would have walked into a girl's bathroom.
Oh, yeah, and Huckabee was making noises around. Huckabee was making similar noises. Both those guys are such crazies, though, that,
We're spending a lot of time on Trump and Clinton as front runners, but I wonder what would work out and be, you know, a really push for the Sanders campaign right now if they started looking at VP running mates. That could bolster perhaps his
could re-stimulate. Well, the thing is, though, at this point in time, he has basically has not accumulated enough of the delegates to make even an honest, viable run, even if he came up with, you know, the most incredible vice presidential candidate that he would be running with.
Right.
It's too late. Too little too late, I guess.
But he
does
have
influence.
It's only Jeff Merkley of Oregon, who I really like, has endorsed him, no other senator. I don't think anybody else in the Senate would, you know, would run with him. And Democrats always pick senators. They don't pick governors. They always pick senators. So unless Jeff Merkley was willing to run with him, which he might, I don't think he'd find it easy to get a reputable running mate.
Right. I think it's important for Bernie to remain viable and in the race as long as he can, but not to disrupt the flow, but to keep pushing Hillary to the left and keep the Democratic Party pushed more to the left, so they're more on a populist bent than they've been in recent years. We've got to get away from this third way stuff that they've been touting since the Clinton years about how they're courting professionals all the time. Let's court professionals, great, but why abandon the workers and the poor and the middle class the way they have?
Exactly.
They've paid lip service to all of them, but they've abandoned them, and that's why they're having so much problem today.
That's another issue.
Right.
That's another issue today. Senator Sanders was on Meet the Press and George Stephanopoulos, and he claimed that the poor don't vote, and that's why he hasn't been getting the popular vote. But the truth is that demographically, it's been the poor or the lower-income families that have given Hillary the popular vote.
Well, that gave Obama his first victory.
Yes.
Right.
It's those folks, and of course people of color who are voting too. That
a lot of them are being disenfranchised, and we got to look out for that too. It's an ongoing effort by the Republicans to keep people from voting who might pose a threat to them. And you know that is not being Democratic or even Republican. In the truest sense of the word, it's just being utterly ridiculous.
That is called. I mean, this voter ID law, which we all know, is nothing more than to try to dissuade the working middle class and
the poor
and
minorities
from voting.
Yep,
minorities to keep them from voting.
Yep,
and that's why we need to, you know, to change the Supreme Court. That's still the crucial issue more than anything.
And that's
Democrats
why
will be getting a different court.
You need a progressive in the White House, or at least someone somewhat to the left of what you've got right now, because otherwise you're going to end up with a milquetoast, wishy-washy person or a conservative, and we can't have either one.
Right. Well, you look back to the 2000 election and the mess that was caused at that time. If Al Gore had gotten in, there would have been no Chief Justice John Roberts and no Samuel Alito, and things would be very different now.
And there wouldn't have been any Iraq either.
Let me elaborate on Professor's comment there to those listening out in the audience. You can be a diehard Bernie supporter, but should Hillary get the nomination, you have to look at the Supreme Court. Whether or not you like her or not, you think she's corrupt, she's got all kind of baggage, we're going to have to vote and pull together and vote for Hillary in the presidency, because that's what's going to change the Supreme Court.
And that
that's
changing
really
in the worst
that we have
way.
To concentrate on right now. Whether or not you like Hillary.
20 to 30 years that it changes the court, not just 4 or 8
years. Exactly.
So it really matters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we're going to have to do it in small steps.
Gentlemen, I'd like to take a moment here to give a plug to one of our little commercial segues like Jack does for free speech and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I've been talking with someone who is part of the show and to get her to come on. And I don't know if I will, but I want to encourage people to online to radio Cole Sandler. What is that noise? There's background noise here that's overriding me.
I was going to say, I'm not. You faded out with me too, so I can try to say it again.
What I'm saying is, I'm doing a plug for the Nicole Sandler Show on RadioOrNot.com online. She's on Monday through Thursday, I believe, every morning at 10 a.m. until noon, where she has lots of really great guests.
Cool.
And a lot of people recognize who Nicole Sandler is, but Radio or Not. Just give them a plug today. They also have got a laugh there, and that's the only way I know her. She did the wonderful blog, Political Carnival. Do you remember that one, Jack?
No, I never followed that. I wasn't aware of it, I guess. But I'm all for alternative stuff because the mainstream media is just crap. It's garbage.
Yeah.
It's ratings-driven. It's commercial-driven. And who needs it? We don't need it. We don't need this propaganda. We don't need this corporate bullshit. We need the real thing.
And I got to ask you, does anybody remember Randy Rhodes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course. Randy Rhodes was great.
Well, Paul Sandler used to sit in for Randy Rhodes all the time. I understand Randy Rhodes is coming back with an online show herself.
She is. That's right.
Great.
I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
I was going to say, keep me informed on that because she was dynamite.
Yeah, she's
loved
great.
Ronald, I wanted to ask you what you thought about has anybody been keeping up with the stuff that's coming out of the two campaigns this last weekend?
Regarding what specifically?
It was really disappointing to me. There was an interview with Jane Sanders, who was minimizing the issue of the Sandy Hook folks and the gun issue in the campaign.
Yeah, that's a mistake. Yeah.
And,
but that's one of his Achilles heels in the case of Bernie, I think, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah.
She's trying to protect her hubby, but, you know, that's not a good move.
Well, I found it disappointing because I like Jane Sanders. I think that she's really pretty honest, and she's had to put up with a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
every wife of the candidates has to, however. It's not that unique.
That's true.
Very good point.
But look how Arpaio out in Arizona treated her. And I mean, it's just.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Look how he treats everybody.
How about Jan Brewer, the way she treated President Obama at the airport that time, a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Wagging a finger in
his
face.
You know? And being a big shot, you know? What a jerk.
Oh, she's terrible.
She is terrible.
She's back in Trump, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I wanted to ask Ronald, you were talking about this 52-year cycle.
52-year curse, as we say, yes. Yeah.
Well, this 52-year cycle.
That's what I quoted in my article on History News Network, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Over that a little bit again, because I thought that was very interesting. When did this begin? When did this kick in?
The Republican Party is born in 1854, you know, as far as being created. It comes to power in 1860 with Lincoln. And then 52 years later, in 1912, they split between Teddy Roosevelt and William Howard Taft with the Progressive Boom Moose Party of T.R. And,
right.
Of course, Taft ends up third. T.R., the Progressive, ends up second. The only time the third party's ended up other than third, meaning second. And then in 1964, 52 years later, the same thing happens, not split in the same way. I mean, Goldwater loses the biggest defeat ever. LBJ gets 61.1% of the popular vote. Nobody's ever surpassed that. And now, 52 years later, 2016, it could be a total disaster for the Republican Party again, and it looks like it's going to be.
Well, let's hope it's so, because they've been way off the rail for a long time.
Exactly.
I heard...
Yeah, I wanted to make up a couple of points that I've written about. One is about this idea that candidates, usually are nominated on the first ballot. There's so many conventions, either party, that they were not. And I wrote an article on History News Network about nine times a president was not nominated by his party until much later ballots, like Woodrow Wilson in 1912 was the 46th ballot, Lincoln was the fourth ballot in 1860, and there are nine cases of presidents who were not nominated on the first ballot, overcame others who were ahead of them, such as Williams Henry Seward over Lincoln in 1860, and Champ Clark, the Speaker of the House, over Wilson in 1912. So that it's not uncommon that candidates not chosen on the first ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't Eisenhower not 1-2 to be favored on the first ballot and came back and won it?
Well, he was behind, but he still did win it on the first ballot, actually.
Yeah.
But he was
originally
behind.
Okay.
But when it finally came to the, there were people who were un, you know, unpledged, so that's a little different. But we've actually had nine presidents who got it on later ballots, including, as I've said, Wilson particularly, but also many others, and Warren G. Harding is another one. He got on the fourth ballot in 1920. There were three other people ahead of him, and yet he ended up the nominee on the fourth ballot. So so that's, I think, a very interesting point about this idea that first ballot is almost always so. It's not always so.
Good point. Very good point.
That is interesting. It sounds like a repeater. It really does.
Those cyclical things when they come true, you know.
Important. Cycles are important to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can't believe there's dead air here, guys.
Well, we're just waiting for the next question to ponder and comment on.
But we're also deep thinkers, so we're reflecting.
That's right, exactly. Very well stated.
We're philosophers. Philosophers think.
That's right.
Very good.
We're not all like Sarah Palin, you know. We don't just shoot our mouths off.
Oh, my God. Every time I see you, I feel like throwing something at the set.
Oh, God, I know. Her voice just grates on my nerves so bad. It just drives me crazy every time she talks.
Yeah.
I give her husband credit for staying with her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he's just as bad as she is. I mean, you know, misery loves company, two peas in a pod, kindred souls.
Yep.
So, he's not a normal person either.
I'd like to reiterate my opinion today, gentlemen, that I do think that it would be very historical for the United States if we did elect a woman. But I have to concede to you that I think it would be very historical if we elected the first ever American Jewish man, too. I mean,
agreed.
Really?
Diversification has always been the strength in this country, and we cannot rule it out just simply because you want to categorize or label somebody.
We're talking about cycles, and, you know, the evangelicals rose up and supported Bush so strongly in 2004, and they've kind of receded down. That's fine. I love them when they're in the background because there's less crazies usually in the race until you get the emergence of Trump and Michelle Bachmann and all these idiots. But at any rate, they're kind of quiet right now. They're alarmed by Trump. They like Ted Cruz, but a lot of people don't like Ted Cruz. So they've been kind of neutralized, and that's just fine with me because I think those people are wacky.
Ted Cruz calls himself and identifies himself as the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
It's like, boy, if that's not warning.
Well,
he's
brainwashed
by
his dad into that, believing that. You know, his dad
exactly.
has him convinced that he's going to preside over the second coming of Christ. How utterly, utterly ridiculous.
He's a fright. He is a fright knight, Ted Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
But I have personal hope that with a Clinton presidency, ERA will come back to the table because that's important.
Yeah.
That's very
good. Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It should.
Right. Agreed. ERA. I have a man with two daughters here. Something else I want to kind of interject here real quick. Someone thought they were being cute and asked Trudeau, the president of Canada, about quantum computing. Well, the man turned around and spoke very knowledgeable and very eloquently on what quantum computing is compared to regular computing, or the ones and zeros we have today. It'll be more of an exponential factor in quantum computing. It's going to take computing in leaps and bounds, computers in leaps and bounds with the intelligence and software and things like that. He expanded on it most poetically and knowledgeable and stuff. And the comment on the bottom was, oh, yeah, thanks, Canada. You keep him and you give us Ted Cruz. The man knows what he's talking about. He's in touch with where the future is going. And Ted Cruz is
so glad that Elizabeth Warren spoke up on Twitter and just slammed that guy. That's what latest post at the Saturday Afternoon Post is about. She just slammed the hell out of him, and he deserved it. What a big belly aching crybaby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, with Jack. She did that really well. I've actually been tweeting back and forth with Donald Trump. I get him to bite by saying sir and then letting him have it. And he keeps retweeting and answering me.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if you are aware that Elizabeth Warren had Ted Cruz as a student at Harvard Law School years ago.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, but it didn't have any effect on him.
Now that's irony.
No, it's a former professor attacking a former student. Think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I also want to say, I like to think about a Jewish guy becoming president. Well, we could have a Jewish vice president with Al Franken running with Hillary.
Yeah,
that's true, too.
Yeah.
That's true,
that's
too.
A possibility, and you never know what could happen
Jewish
later
vice
on.
President,
you know,
than that damn milquetoast Lieberman would have been.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Lieberman ended up as a little bit of a disappointment for me.
Big time.
Afterwards, when he went independent.
Yeah, and it was John McCain's big buddy, you know.
Yeah, well, Joe Lieberman, I think, looked better in 2000. Then after 9/11, he and Dick Cheney both went off the deep end.
In
different
ways.
They
did, yeah.
I think Lieberman was so like going wacko, less so than Cheney, but they both were like, what's going on here with these people? They transformed so much, you know?
Yeah. And thank God both of them are out of politics right now, visibly, you know, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say this. I'm going to just put this out there, but I think we're all going to be surprised at who Clinton will pick. I really do. I think we'll probably all.
I think you're right, Gwen. I think it'll be.
I think only time
a name
will
that's not common or knowledgeable to most people. I think. I think that's the direction that she's going to go.
I think it'll
be. It will not be a household name. I'll just say that. I got that feeling.
Well, Amy Klobuchar is not a household name. I'm pushing her.
Well, there you go.
A little bit of media exposure, but not much.
Yeah,
but yeah. That you know, I wouldn't oppose that. I'd be glad to see that.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think that it's possible she'll choose somebody, a person of color.
That would be more likely, I would think.
Well, then it's Deval Patrick or Cory Booker, or it's Tom Perez, the Secretary of Labor, or it's Julian Castro. Those would be the four people, Latinos
right.
and two African-Americans.
And I guess the Cory Booker.
Castro,
but
I think, would be a, you know, because like I said, Trump has attacked anybody of a Latin Spanish descent.
Right.
He's kind of carpeted that whole aspect. And they are now the largest minority in this country.
Right.
Even Texas is projected to go blue within the next 4 to 6 years.
Right.
Because
by 2020, yes.
All the children who were born here of Mexican immigrant parents, whether they were legal or illegal, are hearing this and saying, I'll be damned if you're going to, you know, deport my mom and dad.
Right.
And when it comes
right.
around for I come of age to vote, I'm remembering this, you bastards. That's
yes,
exactly.
And once Texas goes blue,
Texas.
The Electoral College is lost to the Republicans forever.
They'll never get it back.
They'll never. It's 38 electoral votes. They can't lose Texas, but it's going to happen in 2020, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think that's exactly right. Exactly. That's where I'm with
so.
To checklist the show, we're all agreed that Bernie Sanders should stay in the campaign and keep pushing Hillary to the left. And
yes,
exactly. Bernie, it's a good thing.
Bernie, it's a good thing.
Also,
it's a wonderful thing that he's bringing some young people into a political awareness, a political
And they must not be shut out. Right. People, you've got to keep – that'll be my next post coming up on Thursday about how the Democratic Party cannot make a mistake and turn off these young voters. They've got to get them involved and keep them there.
Right. And I'll tell you what, I think what would go a long way is – if Bernie Sanders should lose to Hillary, which it looks like it's going to be.
It's
going to
probably happen.
I would love to, yes, and I'm just trying to be as positive here.
Right.
I would love for Bernie DeSanders saying, okay, I want to thank everybody for your support. We had a grassroots movement and stuff. Unfortunately, I lost.
Stay active.
Now let's get behind
support Hillary
Clinton
and let's,
because
let's
the work still needs to go on.
Yes,
I want him to encourage all those that supported him and marched with him. There was a rally in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland today. There was one in Rhode Island. I had a friend up there that attended. Big turnouts. We need to motivate everybody.
Absolutely essential. You're right.
Right.
Gentlemen, we've got 30 or 60 seconds. And Ronald, thank you so much for coming back on with us and talking.
Great show, guys. Great show.
Thank you so much, and I really enjoyed it. I hope to come back again.
You're very welcome. And everybody, keep pushing forward. We've got to win this White House. We've got to win Congress back. We've got to put it in the hands of the real people instead of the special interests and the billionaires.
And change the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Yes, and change that Supreme Court, exactly.
Good point.
And, Professor, you and I have been personal friends here for several years now, and I want to say as the things progress forward and we're getting closer to the election, we definitely want to have you back on again. So.
Definitely.
Oh, I'll be glad to come back. Just give me notice.
You bet.
Thank
we
you.
Sure
thank
will.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you,
sure.
Glenn.
Thank
you, Wayne, everybody. Be back next week. It's going to be another great show. We don't know what's going to happen yet, but we'll get it figured out, and it'll be great.
Thank you, Jack. And
thank you, Gwen.
This has been the Sunday Show on Here Be Monsters. We'll be back next Sunday. Thank you for listening. And that's us.
Yep.